Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Vervoson Incorporated's Revenue Forecast Update Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now turn the conference over to Vervoson's CFO, Brian Benson. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. Before we begin, I remind everyone that during the course of this conference call, we will be making forward-looking statements that involve a number of risks and uncertainties that are not guarantees of future performance or results. You are encouraged to review the safe harbor and disclaimer statements contained in today's press release, as well as the other risks detailed from time to time in the company's regulatory filings with the ASX. And with that, I'd like to turn the call over to Jerry. Jerry?
Thanks, Ryan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for getting on our call today, and we apologize for the short notice. We felt as it was important to give you additional context from our press release that just went out, as well as be available to answer questions. We appreciate your time, and thank you again for joining us. As mentioned in our press release, although the 6EZ is progressing well, we do not feel it is ready to ship. Thus, that delay, alongside delays in both receipt of orders for legacy systems from our customers and the scheduled delivery dates of their systems, has meant we haven't been able to meet our 2019 revenue plan. We are gaining confidence, however, that the legacy business has bottomed out and is heading in the right direction in 2020. I think this is the general commentary from other companies in the semiconductor equipment industry. We see improving business conditions as early as Q1 and extending into Q2 of 2020, evidenced by our increasing backlog. As we sit here today, our first half 2020 system backlog exceeds $6 million of systems. That does not include the typical revenue number of approximately $3 million for spares, service, and royalties that we've been averaging. So as we sit here and look at $5.5 million in revenue for the second half of 2019, the first half of 2020, we already have visibility to about $9 million in revenue. We fully expect this figure to grow as we book additional orders, including our first 6EZ orders. On that front, we and our potential customers continue to be impressed with the performance results off the 6EZ polisher, and because of those results, we've received requests for firm proposals, and like all new machines, requests to run more wafers. We are now running live wafers that end up making live devices. Yes, it takes more time, but the progress is good. The program has indeed taken a bit longer than expected. It's clear the value we bring in terms of quality of the wafers produced is now demonstrable to our customers. Although we now expect shipments for the 6EZ to start in Q1 of 2020, in reality, it's a quarter later than originally planned, but we remain very confident, backed by actual process data delivered on actual customer wafers, that we have the right machine at the right time. As Ryan noted in our comments in the press release, our cash receipts in Q4 have already exceeded the Q3 number, and we have invoices for quite a few customer deposits, which we expect to receive soon. This is yet another sign of improving business conditions. I want to remind everyone, if you have questions, we're going to take some questions, but you're always welcome to send an email to us at ir@revossum.com. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. To ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Again, that's star 1 on your touchtone telephone to ask a question. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. There appear to be no questions in queue. I'd like to turn the call back over to Jerry Cotini for closing room. Actually, we do have a question. Sorry. The first question comes from the line of Darren Benson of Shaw Partners. Your line is open.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Ron.
Hi, Jerry.
If you could just give us a little bit more color around your statement that you don't feel the 6EZ is ready to ship yet. What exactly does that mean?
The machine's running really well, but when it leaves home, you know, we have a certain set of criteria that we need to prove to ourselves. I'll give you an example. I'd like it to run 1,000 wafers in a row without any errors or assists. We're up to a few hundred, but we're not at 1,000 yet. This is just engineering time. This isn't, it just needs to bake a little bit more. So it's running very well. We definitely want to make sure it's at some level of stability before it leaves the house. So that's all it means. The process, as I keep saying, is spectacular. I couldn't be happier with the process. And, you know, it's a drag that customers always come back and want to run just a few more wafers, but that's reality, and that's a good sign. So it's just simply not at a point where we're ready to let it go out the back door. That's all.
Okay, thanks. And then just secondly, on your point about visibility to $9 million of revenue in the first half of 20, clarify that? Definitely. Does that include any 6EZ orders at all?
Okay, good question. So first, the makeup of the nine right now, we have $6 million, a little bit more firm machine backlog that we'll be shipping. We average about $3 million a half on spares, services, and royalties, which we are starting to collect. And that $9 million does not include any of the planned shipments for the 6EZ. So we feel pretty good about what we see going in front of us. The business activity is good, and so I think we're going to be okay in the first half.
Okay. And like so far you haven't indicated or quantified how many 6EZs might ship or any expectations around that. Can you give us any color there?
Well, Darren, I have a lot of expectations, but lately, my ability to forecast is not what it usually is, so I'm going to resist giving a number right now. I think that, you know, we wanted to ship two machines in the second half of this year. We didn't do it, so, of course, that's the minimum expectation. But I'm not ready to give a forecast right now, but I feel pretty good about where we are.
Okay, and another way of sort of coming at the similar sort of issue is where's your production up to now with regards to the 6EZ? How many are you capable of producing, let's say, in a quarter or a half or however you want to answer the question?
It's a little early for that question, but I fully expect to be able to ship, you know, a couple of handfuls of tools every year out of this factory without any real trouble. But we haven't bought material for that. We're really looking at just the first half.
Yep, sure. Okay.
I'll say this, Darren, just to be clear. We have two on the floor that as soon as we get the orders are going to go out the door.
Well, I think it's also fair to say, as Ryan chiming in, the last half year we've built four.
Mm-hmm.
So we've built two that are available for customer shipments. That are being finalized, and we've built two that are essentially we're maintaining in-house for demonstration capability and engineering capability. So that's kind of like the minimum capacity.
Yeah.
I think, look, it's if I could chime in and add my other thoughts, the capacity will be there. We've talked about how we can essentially add capacity, incremental capacity, how we can meet customer demand, and I understand that the desire to put a fine point on how many units we ship in the first half. I'd say is important a milestone for people to look at, again, is how many new customers do we sell to for the 60Z, because the customers that we're dealing with are important strategic customers that are important to the industry. So each time we ship one to a new customer, it's going to be a pretty important, significant event.
Yeah, sure. And what about demonstration machines where you provide them initially without being paid for them? Where's all that sort of stand at the moment? Is that still something you're expecting to have to do?
I think that, you know, we're going to probably end up in a situation with what I would term a contingent purchase order. So we'll have a defined set of specifications that we've agreed upon with the customer. And if we meet those specs, the customer buys to, you know, pays for the machine. So I have no intention of shipping a machine out just, you know, hoping willy-nilly that they take it. So we will ship the machine if we have a contract that states if it meets this criteria, they will pay for it. There will be no loaners, no freebies, no nothing. Delayed payment, fine. That's okay. That's normal.
Okay. So the first two that possibly shipped in first quarter, are they going to be on these contingent type arrangements?
I would expect that. I would expect them to have some. Look, it's a new machine. The customer knows it's a new machine. They're going to place an order, and they're going to say, "You need to make sure it does A, B, C, and D." And so, that's not an unreasonable ask, and we will be very diligent in how we specify that with the customers.
And we've always said, you know, look, we're a small company. We're limited in our ability to do that. So, look, it's a little incentive for customers to be first. It's kind of first come, first serve on that basis.
Okay. And can you just talk to maybe Ryan, if they're sold on that basis, the booking of cash and also revenues, how does that take place timing-wise?
Yeah, I mean, if they're contingent POs or eval POs, they won't be revenue. And look, typically, first articles, this type of thing, there may or may not be deposits, and so there may or may not be cash collected. Again, as Jerry said, it's going to be a relatively short window of them essentially meeting certain acceptance criteria and us helping them in the field. But once it meets that criteria, and again, we're not going to ship it until we know it's going to meet that. So that's, as Jerry said, this is the point of, you know, again, back to what you're asking about, what's exciting and what's important is the process. We're getting the great process results. That's the black magic. That's the IP. That's the value that we add. It's typical in our industry to have to shake down the machine and make it to where it runs efficiently and smoothly, and we feel comfortable putting it, you know, at the customer side. But once it meets those criteria, then it will become revenue.
We ship thousands of machines that we know run. Getting a machine to run a lot is just time and service. It just takes time. And there's it's an old thing in the industry, right? When is it ready to ship? There's always an internal debate. And inside the company, we can only do so much, right? Really, at some point, it has to be stable enough to put it in the customer's hands, and then they find other things that you need to fix. But that's normal course in the business.
Yep, okay. And final question, just I think Ryan sort of hit on it'll be a reasonably short period between shipping and the machine showing that it's producing it at the level expected. What sort of time frame there are we thinking?
I think you're going to hear us say something before the end of the quarter about the stat. You know, look, we plan on telling people when we've got a reason to talk about shipping a machine or a commitment from a customer. We'll tell people that. We'll tell people when they have been accepted. And I think, you know, as we get into your fall and our spring, I think I would expect us to be well on our way of knowing that the machines have met the criteria. So, you know, I think we're going to be there in the February, March timeframe.
Yeah, and look, we fully expect similar questions to be asked when we get on for a 4C call, a month from now.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get
we'll be giving more color at that time, too.
Okay, then. Thanks for answering my questions, and look forward to seeing those machines ship in the new year.
Amen.
You and us all. So
yeah, I'm
okay.
Sure. Thanks.
Thanks again. Nobody more than the engineers. So, all right, operator.
Cheers.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. This time, I'd like to turn the call back over to Jerry Coutinho for any closing remarks. Actually, we did have another question that just popped up.
Okay.
All right. We have a question from Ashley Kelly of Shawn Partners.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. It's just an extension on what Darren was talking about. So how is the cash position, and do you think going into next year you're going to have to raise more money?
Yeah, so we put in the press release again. We tried to give some clarity on this. So $5.2 million in cash. I think we've done an outstanding job of kind of collecting our receivables, and sales team has done a good job of terms of bookings, and so we've just invoiced a pretty good chunk, a couple million $1 worth of deposit invoices, and we've had some recent shipments, and so the AR is starting to grow. So we feel pretty good about in terms of what we've done on the trade receivable side. As we said in the last call, we've also started to really kind of tighten our belt and making sure we're being really judicious on the outflow side. So we are at a point where we feel like we've kind of gotten a bit over the hump and we're through the worst of it. Never say never on what the right thing is for the company in terms of, you know, capitalization, working capital capacity, but right now we're doing the things that we think are necessary to have the company be kind of sustainable based on where it is right now. And second thing I'll add is as Mount announced before, I mean, we do have a debt facility in place. Again, as we continue to get orders and ship orders, it provides us extra capacity to borrow if we get into kind of a working capital crunch on, you know, inventory and receivables, working capital buildup. So we have some flexibility there.
Do you have any debt drawn at the moment?
Yeah, we also put that in release that we have $5.2 million cash. We have $2.3 million of drawn on that facility. So the bulk of that is a 3-year term note that just gets paid off in a monthly payment. So it's just going to do a little, you know, like $100,000 a month.
Right. And so, what are the terms on that? Like, what interest rate are you paying, and what's your maximum draw there?
So the term loan itself was fully drawn at $2 million. The working capital line has capacity actually of $8 million. So there's a lot of capacity under the instrument, but we have to, obviously we have to be booking and shipping orders. So for example, if we have one of these great EZ machines gets shipped out and we have a large receivable, then we can draw upon that. The interest rate, I forget the exact, it's prime plus a few points. Hopefully the banker's not listening because it's a really, really good, cheap money. So.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks, Ash.
And once again, to ask a question, press star 1 at this time. That's star 1 on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question. And now I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Cotini for closing remarks. Sir?
Thank you, operator. Okay, thanks for getting on the call today on short notice. I hope everybody has a very happy and safe holiday season. I look forward to talking to everybody after the new year. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.